Our Heavenly Father, thank you. As always, we are in the house of the Lord again. And we know, Lord, that you've got a blessing for us, Lord. You want us to draw close to you. And as we've taken this time by your grace during this consecration, to set these days apart to draw closer to you, Lord. You said, I will be found of you when you shall seek me with all your heart. And Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that you will anoint the words of the living God. And reveal, O Lord, into our hearts what you will want us to do and how you want us to walk before you. And we give you glory and praise this morning. Glorify yourself, Lord, in the message of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this morning, ye shall serve the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Well, that looks like a good message for a time of consecration like this. And I like that message, that song that they sang. It said, my life is not my own. I give it away so that I can be of use to you. It fit right into this message, you know. You know, I didn't tell them to sing the song. They picked it on their own. But it'll fit right with this message and so forth like that. So I'm going to start here in Deuteronomy. I have some scriptures to read, and I'm going to say something here to challenge us that the Lord wants me to say. Ye shall serve the Lord thy God. That's the message this morning. I'm going to start here at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I will start at verse 4. Now, if you don't have your Bible, you can look up on the screen. I think they will put up the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Chapter 6. And I am going to start at verse 4. Now, it says, hear, O Israel. Well, we can say, you know, hear, O ye saints of the living God. The Lord our God is one Lord. Can I get a witness on that? Is it your testimony that you know that the Lord our God is one Lord? Oh yes. This universe is not big enough for two of them. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. The Lord our God is one Lord, and he's a jealous God. And he wants to hold that position alone in your life. We're going to hear about it this morning. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, that's not half of your heart and half of your soul. Oh, no, that's not going to work. And with all your might. You know, that means be fervent in spirit when you're serving the Lord. Not just some wishy-washy kind of serving the Lord. You know, no. He wants you to love the Lord with all your might. All your might. My goodness. You know, I mean, if you can serve the Lord like that, you'll be all right, you know, with him. And these words which I command thee this day, church, shall be in your heart. And for you, parents, listen to this. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You must talk about loving the Lord and serving the Lord. You must teach it to your children all the time. Can somebody say amen? There will be no excuses for any parents that don't teach these things to their children, you know. And he says, and thou shalt bind them, not only teach, you bind them as a sign on your heart. That's how serious this stuff is. You bind it on your hand. There's some of you that like to wear, you know, these wristbands and bandanas and so forth. This is the stuff you better be binding on your hand. Bind it on your hand, you know, and put it as front legs, you know, wear it as glasses and so forth. Let it be always in front of you. You're seeing it all the time, you know, between your eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of your house, everywhere in your house. Amen? Praise God. You know, anybody here that's a head of a household, you ought to command your children to serve the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, whether they'll do it or not, that's a different story. But it's your business to command them to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord said of Abraham, oh, I know him because he's going to command his children after me, you know, to serve the Lord and so forth like that. Does God know that of you? Can God say that about you, that he knows that you will command your children to serve the Lord. You know? Now, well, see, you cannot give what you don't have. And somebody say amen. Oh yeah, some parents that are in here this morning, they need to listen. Everybody actually needs to listen to this. You know, that's the reason why the younger generation sometimes, they're not following hard after the Lord, because the older generation, their parents, are not following hard after the Lord. You know, and so on like that. But, you know, let's see if we can do something about that here this morning. Praise God. Now, I've got some scriptures to read from where the Lord commands us to serve the Lord. And also, the blessings that come from serving the Lord. But, you know, first I want to concentrate on serving the Lord. Not just because of the blessings, but because that's what we're supposed to do. Because the Bible says that for all things were made by him and for his pleasure. Praise God. So we, you know, that's our duty, is to serve the Lord. Now, turn with me to Exodus 23, and I'm going to read, you know, from verse 25. I have a few verses here that I'm going to read on how we ought to serve the Lord. And you should be marking these scriptures now, you know, because, you know, well, you know, I can say after today's service, well, of course, you know, here in this church all the time, we do command people, you know, to serve the Lord and so forth like that, you know, and, try to lead people in the way of righteousness. But I'm going to lay it all out this morning because it's consecration weekend, you know, and then nobody's going to have any excuse. Now, Exodus 23 and verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. Amen? And then he shall bless thy bread. Can somebody say amen? Oh yes. And he shall also bless thy water. And he shall take sickness away from the midst of thee. Can I get a witness on that? But first, you shall serve the Lord thy God. That's the first thing. See? You shall serve the Lord thy God. And we're going to find out what that means here this morning. And then, there shall nothing cast their young, nor anything be barren. See, I don't want to be losing children or people not, you know, be able to have children and so forth like that. In thy land, they, you know, the number of days, your days will I fulfill, saith the Lord. Oh my. You know, that's worth the price of serving the Lord alone by itself. You know, for the Lord to say those kinds of things. And listen, we're not done yet. And I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people, you know, and so forth, your enemies, basically. You know, that's what he's saying, and so forth like that. You know, and I will make all your enemies to turn their backs. They're going to run away from thee, you know, when you are serving the Lord. The Lord knows what he's doing, you know, by commanding his people to serve the Lord. But the first thing is, we must serve the Lord. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'm going back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And I am going to read, from verse 32. That's Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 32. And he says, ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live. You want life? You better serve the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Well, you know, we preach deliverance messages all the time. You know, people like to jump and shout and so forth like that. And this kind of message, you know, may not be too popular, but this is what we need to hear. Can somebody say amen? Oh yes, because, you know, what shall it profit a man that he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, so we want to make sure that you don't lose your soul. You know, that he may be well with you and that ye may prolong your days in the land. See? By serving the Lord. You know, there's a lot of benefits that we're going to read in these commandments that tell us to serve the Lord. You know, and many of these benefits you will see come by serving the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going back to that chapter. And I'm going to read verse 17. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies. Now, the commandments of the Lord to us are not grievous. See, the word of God, every word of God is pure. And this whole Bible is the word of God for us now. We've got not only the things that God commanded in the New Old Testament, but we got all of the instructions and the doctrinal, you know, guidelines and so forth in the New Testament. And so the entire word of God, the whole package, we've got it. you know, now he says, ye shall diligently keep, not haphazardly, not sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right. Now listen, people. Thou shalt do that which is right and which is good in the sight of the Lord. Now, I want to say especially to the young people, listen to me this morning by the word of the Lord. Ye shall do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Even in the midst of this crooked generation. Hallelujah. You must do that which is right. Now there were many kings of Israel and kings of Judah, and in particular the kings of Israel did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now some of the kings of Judah did some good, some of them did some evil, you know, and so forth like that. But the Lord would always say, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and this one did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. The Lord is keeping track of all those things, you know. But he says here, ye shall do that which is good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may be well with you, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land. Well, let's put it this way. All of the blessings and the dreams and the promises that God has given you, in order for you to possess them, ye better do that which is right before the Lord. Amen? You do that which is, this is sound doctrine here this morning, you do that which is right before the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye do and observe, in order that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land, or possess the promises of God. You know, again and again, you know, I mean, I've got tons of scriptures there. I won't read all of them because of time, but I'm going to read enough to, for you to see that again and again, God continues to command the people of God to serve the Lord. And then we're going to talk about that. Praise God. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee, and so forth, and begin to tell them about it. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And I hope you're marking down the scriptures. And now, O Israel, well, I can say GMI Church, the saints of God, and anybody else that love the Lord, what does the Lord require of thee? See, what is it? That's the question this morning. What is it that the Lord requires from thee? But for you to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways. Not just some of his ways. Amen? Amen? Amen. Walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart. And with all your soul. I'm going to be talking about serving the Lord. I'm still reading the commandments that tell us to serve the Lord. Some of you say, well, what does it mean for me to serve the Lord? I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. For you to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for your good, he said. See, he said, this is the thing that God requires of you. For you to love the Lord your God and to serve him and keep all of his commandments for your own good. Because the Lord, he knows what he's doing. There's a reason why he gives the commandments that he gives. And it's for your own good. And if you listen and keep his ways, the good of the Lord shall overtake you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 13. And it shall come to pass. Now this is, thus saith the living God. When he says it shall come to pass, it is going to come to pass. See? And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, guess what the Lord said that he would do? He said, I will give you rain in your land in due season. You can talk about anything you want as far as prosperity and blessings. You know, rain, you know, and so forth, you know, that's what, you know, he was talking to them about, but you can put anything else in there. It's the same thing. I will give you prosperity, if you want to put it that way, you know, and not only that, I will also bring there a lot of rain. Oh my goodness. That thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, you know, all of that because you serve him. People, some people are waiting for revival, but you better serve the Lord with all your heart. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. I mean, look at all of the blessings of God that he gives us you know, for serving the Lord. Verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign on your hand. That's the second time he's saying that. And make it as a frontlet before your eyes. That's the, you know, say that again. And teach them again to your children. You know, how many times is he going to say that? You know, speaking of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, you know, and when thou raisest up. He told the children of Israel these things over and over again, but they were stiff-necked. And they wouldn't listen, you know. And people look at them today and say they were stiff-necked, just like I said, and they will listen. But, you know, the children of God, the sons of God, the church of God today is doing exactly the same thing that those rebellious Israel did in those days, by not following the Lord their God. By choosing the ways of the world, rather than following the commandments of the Lord. But our God is a jealous God. God wants you to serve and to choose Him as your chief joy. And He wants to be first place or no place at all. He doesn't want second place. Amen? Can I get an amen? Oh, He doesn't want second place. He wants first place in your life. And so He said, you know, teach it to your children, write it upon the doors of your posts, upon your house, and upon your gates. That's verse 21. That your days may be multiplied, and that the days of your children, you know, and so forth like that, may be multiplied. See, as the days of heaven upon the earth. My goodness. You know. And I said, Lord, oh, so help me God, I will teach my children who follow the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. See, and none of my children can say that I haven't commanded them, and I do command them every day. I don't care what age they get to be, I still get to command them to serve the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Because that's my duty as a parent, and that's your duty as a parent. You teach your children, you instruct them, you put the word of the Lord, and for your children, you obey the word of the Lord. And all parents, everybody together, let's love the Lord, let's be diligent in serving Him. Now, let's see, these were the things that Moses wrote by the word of the Lord to Israel. But he was not the only one that commanded people to serve the Lord in their days. So I'm going to read a few more examples, and then we're going to go to what it really means to serve the Lord. Now, Joshua, here's what he said, you know, to... You know, well, let me read one more here before I jump to that. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And I'm going to read just verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and ye shall cleave unto Him. Amen? Don't depart from the living God. And one of the easiest ways to depart from the living God is allowing an evil heart of unbelief to get into your heart. You know, that's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. They departed from the Lord because of unbelief. But He's saying, He's commanding us here to serve the Lord, to love Him, and to cleave unto Him, and to obey His voice. And now that voice of the Lord is this word of God that He has written for us. Now, of course, the Lord can speak to you too, but if you're not obeying the written word, you know, you can forget about the spoken word. Hallelujah. That's right. Because this word, you know, that is here, that God has already given you, you better follow and obey that word so that all of these blessings, you know, that we have talked about, you know, shall, you know, follow you and so forth like that. And here is a warning also in verse 17 of Deuteronomy 13. There shall cleave nothing of the cursed thing into your hand. You know, don't lay your hand on things that is accursed. You know, things of sin and the unrighteous thing. Touch not the unclean things, saith the Lord, and come out from among them, and I will receive you unto myself, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and your children. He said, and you know, don't let the anger and the fierceness of His anger, you know, don't let Him come upon you and so forth like that, you know. But the Lord will have compassion on you, and He will multiply you and so forth if you follow all His ways. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22. And I'm going to read a couple of verses there in Joshua chapter 22. Now, like I said, you know, this in a time of consecration like this, this kind of message will fit right in, but it goes beyond just the consecration days. This is a message for every day of our lives. Now, Joshua chapter 2. Let me read from, Joshua 22. I'm going to just read verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandments and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, you know, that you should love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways. And so he's remembering all of the things that Moses said, and he's saying the same thing. He's following the charge and laying down the charge to the people as well. Follow his ways and keep his commandments and cleave unto him, he says, you know, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, and so forth. So Joshua, he told them. Now verse 20, chapter 3, 23 of Joshua, verses 6 to 8. I just want to read this very quickly. Now, be ye therefore very courageous, every one of you that's in here, and to keep all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. That's what they had at that time. But we have more now. So I'm going to tell it to you this way this morning. Be ye therefore courageous to keep all that is written in the book of this word of the law. Amen? This Bible right here. Yes. All of it. And that ye turn not aside from it to the left or to the right hand, you know, and so forth like that. You know, don't turn away from it. You stay with the word of God. I don't say the word of God doesn't matter. You know, every word of God matters. And not one word, not one jot or one tittle, the Bible said, Jesus said himself, you know, shall fall away. You know, everything that God said, you know, he told them, but you must cleave unto the Lord your God. And in chapter 24, of Joshua, verses 14 and 15, he tells them, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away from you the gods which your fathers have served, all the things that have taken first place, you know, God's place in your life. Put them away, he said. Put them away. You say, well, I don't serve any gods. Well, you know, maybe you don't have one that you carved out of wood exactly. You know, but anything that takes God's place in our lives, that's another God. And he shall have, and Jesus said, you know, thou shalt have no other gods beside me. I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God. Can I get an amen on that? You know, anything that takes you away from the presence of the Lord, anything, the Bible says the sin that so easily beset us. Say, get away from these things. Get these things from you and so forth. And serve the Lord, you know. And he said, well, if it seemed good, you know, evil for you to serve the Lord, you know, well, you know, or good, you better choose this day, he said. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, he told him. Yeah, he drew the line in the sand, if you want to put it that way. And he said, you know, you choose this day whom you're going to serve. You can either serve the Lord or not. But, you know, don't be no two minds about it, you know. And he said, but as for me and my house, oh my, we will serve the Lord. I like the sound of that. Can I get somebody to repeat that with me? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, so help you God. You know, and I said to my household, I said, well, you know, as for me and my house, you know, so help me God, we will serve the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, you know. And you got to do it like that sometimes, you know, especially the Bible says, you know, young children say, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from him. You know, sometimes, you know, the young folks and so forth like that, they don't want to serve the Lord, you know, and so forth, you know. But, you know, you got to remind them to serve the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we have a group of young people in this church that are determined to serve the Lord. Can I get a praise for that? Amen. Give the Lord a praise and hand clap for that. Hallelujah. That's right. That's why they are called distinct. They are the chosen ones. They are set apart, you know, to be a light unto this generation. And so you better be a light wherever you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not only when you are in church, but especially when you are not in church. You know, wherever you are, praise ye the name of the Lord. And listen to what David, how he commanded his sons Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And I'll just read a couple of verses here. Not only his son Solomon, but also, you know, the whole congregation of Israel, he commanded them. He said, now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, he told his son, now you keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God. Not just keep, but search them out. Don't say, I don't know. You know, find out. Read the word. Amen? Amen? That's right. You not only keep, but you seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, so that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance also for your children and so forth. And now he turned to his son and said, now Solomon, my son, now you better pay attention now. And he gave him some commandment and so forth. He said, look, I want you to know the God of your father. And he's talking to him, you know. David knew God in a personal way. And he's telling his son, he's challenging his son. He said, look, I want you to know the same God that I have known. See? And he said unto him, he said, look, and I want you to serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Praise God. And I want to challenge everybody in here today, not just the young folks, everybody. I want you to serve the Lord with a perfect heart. And I want you to serve the Lord with a willing mind. Because the Lord searches all hearts. And he understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. Now, if thou seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Now, that's a strong, strong admonition there and caution. Now, he said, if you seek the Lord, he will be found of you. You know, God, for the little children, I like to put it this way, God likes to play hide and seek. You know, if you want to think of it that way, you know, we preached a message about that, why God hides himself. You know, he loves to do that so that people can seek after him. You know, but if you seek him, you'll find him. You know, but if you're not seeking, you know, he's not just about to just reveal himself to anybody, just a casual looker. No, he doesn't do that, you know. But if you seek the Lord diligently, he will be found of you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now let's listen to what Solomon himself had to say in 1 Kings chapter 8. And I'm just going to read one verse. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 61. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as it is this day. You know, isn't that kind of, you know, interesting that, you know, the father said it enough times to the son, and then the son began to carry the same thing out. You know, you say it enough time and you follow on, you know, and show a good example too to your kids, you know, and you teach them in a way that they should go, the Bible says. And when they are older, they will not depart from it. Amen? That sound doctrine in here this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. And some people say, well, you know, I don't know about this and that. You know, the children and so forth, you know, they just go on their ways. No. You command them to serve the Lord. And you show them a good example. And you be praying for them. And you, you know, you get that power of the Holy Ghost, you know, and circle them in. Circle the wagon, so to speak, you know. And, you know, you know, when it's time to go to the house of the Lord, you bring them with you. When it's time to go to the service, you bring them with you. When it's time for the prayer meeting in your house, you call them. Don't let them just be in their room watching television and so forth like that. You know, you command them to serve the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. That's the way it is done. You know, and of course, you yourself, you better be serving the Lord. Because if you're not serving the Lord yourself, you know, you won't know how to do that. You need to have an altar of prayer. An altar of praise and worship in your family. And everybody should be serving the name of the Lord. Praise God. Now in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 12. I'm going to get into some part of this message, you know, that I want to talk about here. You know, I've read, you know, all of those scriptures to give you a background to what the Lord wants me to tell you this morning. And now here we go. In Proverbs chapter 12, he's going to talk about this crooked generation that we are living in, especially young people now. So you listen to this, you know, young people. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, verses 11 and 12. You know, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. Well, you know, I've seen that generation right here. You say, you've seen it? Absolutely. Well, not my children. Amen? Praise God. Well, my children, you know, they love me and they love their mother. So I give the Lord the praise for that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But there is a generation that are, you know, that do those kind of things, and they are pure in their own eyes. They think they got all the answers. You know? Oh, yeah. You know? But yet they are not washed from their filthiness. See, that's this generation right here. You know, you call it generation X or generation whatever you want to call it. But they think they got all the answers, but yet they are not washed from their filthiness. And there is only one way to be washed. Hallelujah, somebody. In the book of Psalms 119 and verses 9 to 11, you young people. How shall a young man or a young woman, especially in this generation, cleanse his ways? By taking heed, O Lord, according to all of thy word. And all the word of God that we are impressing on you this morning is to follow the word, follow the Lord, love him with all your heart, and serve him with all your heart, regardless of what the rest of the people are doing. Amen. Oh, broad is the way, Jesus said, that leads to destruction. And there'll be many people that find it. And some people say, I've heard some people say, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of people, you know, in hell and so forth like that. Well, you know, they can find out, you know. I don't know anything about that, you know. But I know that straight and narrow is the way that leads to life. And there'll be few people that find it. It is straight, you know, it's kind of tight. You know, it's not exactly, you know, straight as in a straight line. But it's tight, you know. It's tight. That's what it means. It's narrow. It's tight. You know, it's not comfortable sometimes. You know, but that's the road that leads to life. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, and the commandments of God, they are not grievous at all. You know, let me tell you about, you know, about that way that leads to life. Now, here is where it's at. Right here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 16. He says, God saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? You know, and walk ye therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It is the good old way. Praise God. God has never changed. You know, and people say, well, you know, you got to get with the program. You got to change with the flow. You know, God is the same. I am the Lord, the same yesterday and today and forever. If it was a sin 2,000 years ago, it is still a sin today. Hallelujah, somebody. I don't care whether they come out of their closets or whatever they do, it is still a sin, saith the Lord. That's right. Praise God. Oh yeah, you don't want me to bring an indictment against this generation. Because, you know, I'll be preaching for an hour if I do that. You know. But the Lord has seen an evil in this generation. You know, and we want to challenge, you know, everybody, and especially the young ones. Look to the good old ways. Because that's where the life is at. Don't follow any of those new, you know, whatever ways that they've come up with. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah, somebody. Blessed is the man that does not, you know, stand in the way of sinners. In the book of Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that does not sit down with his scornful and so forth like that. You know, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water, whose leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, oh, hallelujah, somebody. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, because he has separated himself, you know, from the unclean things of this world. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Oh, yes, and he's walking in the way, in the highway. There is a way, a highway. Hallelujah. That is the highway. It's called the paths of righteousness. And that's what leads to the gates of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. But when you try to get on those paths, the gates of hell will try to close down on you. But Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I've got some people in here this morning that are determined to follow the Lord. No matter what. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I see some hands of those who are determined to follow the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Now, I will follow the Lord. Peter said, he said, because you are the one that has the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? Praise God. Hallelujah. Look, there is nothing the world has to offer, you know, but sadness and darkness, you know, and so forth like that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And this path that we're talking about, it's the path of righteousness. Listen to what he says in the book of Titus, chapter 2. And reading from verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Has he appeared unto you, the grace of God that brings salvation? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, especially you young people, you know, all those things that are out there in the world and so forth, you know, like fornication, you know, and so forth, you know. He said we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You say live righteously, soberly, and godly. Is that possible? Why? Absolutely. If it's not possible, he wouldn't tell us to do it. You know, looking for that blessed hope and for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's right. See, that he might redeem us from all unrighteousness. God just doesn't want to just forgive your sins. Some people think, well, you know, I'm just going to come to the Lord and ask for the forgiveness of sins and so forth. You know, there's a religion, I call it religion because I don't know if it's really Christian faith. There's a religion that practices that, you know, because they go, you know, say, well, you know, Father, I have sinned. It's been so many days since my last confession, you know, and so forth. You know, and then he blesses them and absorbs them of their sin, and then they go right back out and do the same things. Well, that's not going to work. Amen. Christ came that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Not only that, he wants to purify us unto himself as a peculiar people. You distinct people in here. As a peculiar people. Amen. And those are zealous of good works. God doesn't want us just to be lukewarm about the things of God. He wants us to be excited. He wants us to be fervent in spirit. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And he said, these things you should speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Don't let any man despise you. So I'm speaking it with authority in there this morning. I'm telling you, you know, you need to leave the things of the world behind and follow the Lord with all of your heart. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It will tell you the same thing. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. You know. He says right here that you know, see, if you love the world and, you know, the things that are in the world and so forth like that, you know, that's not from God, he's telling you. So let me read it to you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'm telling you now how to serve the Lord. You say, well, how do I serve the Lord? Well, this is it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. See, if any man love the world, you know, follow the ways of the world, that's what that means. He said, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But we know that the world is going to pass away, and the lust thereof, all of these things will be destroyed. You know, so, but he that doeth the will of God, and he that followeth and does and pursues after God and cleaves unto the Lord shall abide forever. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 as I begin to close this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 14. Now, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's right. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Don't be unequally yoked, if you hook up with unbelievers, that's an unequal yoke. It's not going to work, Praise ye the name of the Lord. You young people, you listen to that this morning, that's not going to work. Because what communion has light with darkness? And if your best friend is, some unbeliever and so forth like that, that's not going to work. You say, Jesus, that was Jesus. Because he came to save sinners. You didn't come to save no sinners. In fact, you're still struggling, and we need to save you yourself, from sin. So don't be deceiving yourself and say, Jesus, he hung out with the sinners and so forth like that, that was Jesus, but he hung out with sinners, but yet without sin. Praise you the name of the Lord. And there's a difference, and every sinner that he hung out with, he turned their life around. He didn't just hang out with them in their sin. Amen. He changed their lives, and they would say, wow, my goodness, didn't he tell me everything I ever did in my life and so forth? And they run off and become an evangelist, or something, he changed lives everywhere he went. He didn't just hang out with them and party with them and be seen with them. No, he didn't do any of that. He changed their lives. Hallelujah, somebody. If you're going to hang out with your best friend who doesn't even know that you are a believer, then you've got a real problem. Some of you are in here, your best friends are people that are in the world. They don't even know that you are a believer. You say, that's my best friend and so forth like that. They don't even know. The Bible says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. You ought to be a witness. Praise God. So let me read it to you. What concord has Christ with the lie? That's the devil. That's the house of devils and so forth. What part has he that believeth with somebody that doesn't believe? It's right here. I'm reading it straight from you from the scriptures. And what agreement has the temple of God, which temple you are, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Even as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? Listen to this morning, everybody. Wherefore, come out from among them, saith the Lord. That's right. And be ye separate and distinct. Distinct is not just a name. You better be really separate. You don't be going around saying we are distinct and so forth. You're doing exactly the same thing that the rest of them are doing. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch any of those unclean things that they are doing out in the world. You say, that's right. If you do all of that, then I will receive you unto myself, saith the Lord. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Yes. Hallelujah. Now that's a call, that's a challenge to this generation. A challenge to this generation. And a call that everyone should separate themselves. This is one of the things that we try to do, in the time of consecration, to give people a chance to think about that. Think about the separation. Think about what God wants you to do. Say, come out from among them and be ye separate. Be ye separate. And Jesus said himself, if any man will follow me, he has to deny himself. And he has to take up his cross daily. You can't be the most popular person among all of them and so forth. You want to be liked by everybody. You want to do everything that everybody's doing. Nobody even knows that you're a believer. And you want to say that you're a believer. That's not going to work. There is no agreement between light and darkness. They better come to the light. And if you're not bringing them to the light, you'll be going down into their darkness. That's the way it works. And let me tell you something too. Every time you put hot and cold water together, it seems like the cold water always wins. That's a word of wisdom for you in here this morning. So you better watch out, and let's see what the Lord himself has to say about our hot and cold business, because he won't have any part of it at all. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, here's what he has to say about that. Revelation chapter 3. Now, some of you have already heard about this, that he told, you know, the church of Laodicea, and he said to them, look, I know thy works, verse 15, that thou art neither hot nor cold. See? I would that you are either cold or hot. Now, this is the Lord himself talking. You know, and he knows how to say these things just the way they are. Say, look, I don't want any of this hot or cold business. You know, because you are not hot and you are not cold. You are not hot for the Lord. You know, so you got one foot here, you straddle the fence. You know, you got, you know, one foot in the house of the Lord, one foot, you know, in the world and so forth. You know, he said, look, that's not going to work. He said, because, you know, you are lukewarm. See, he doesn't want any of that lukewarmness. It has no taste, you know. It's disgusting in his mouth, you know. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spill you out of my mouth. So you better choose to be cold or to be hot. He doesn't want, you know, any of that lukewarmness and so forth like that. You know, you say he doesn't want any of that lukewarmness. No, he wants you to be fervent in spirit. And I'm going to close with this scripture here in Romans chapter 12. I have a few more scriptures marked down here, but I'm going to cut those out on account of time. Romans chapter 12, and I'm just going to read a few verses here to you. Romans chapter 12, and this, you know, like I said, the song they sang this morning, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And this is not just for young people. This is for everybody. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. How many times have you been telling that? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And listen to this in verse 11. Don't be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, God doesn't want, you know, any lukewarmness, you know, when you're serving me. He wants fervency. You know, fervency, that's like exuberance, you know, it's bubbling, it's effervescent, it's, you know, bubbling on, they're excited about the things of God, the zeal of the house of the Lord. You know, consumes you. I mean, you want, you know, you're excited about the things of God. Not just dispassionate about the things of God. That's not going to work. He wants you to be fervent in spirit and serving the Lord. You know, and how do I serve the Lord every day where? Well, the first thing you do is follow the Word of God. And you cannot follow that Word if you don't read it. If you wait until you come to the service and then we read it to you and so forth like that, you know, well, and that's what they do in some, you know, Eastern Orthodox religions. They don't read, you know, the Bible. They don't let the priest or somebody tell them what it says. Well, that's what Israel did in those days that made God to give them up. They didn't want any part of God. You know, in fact, you know, they said, well, we don't want the voice of God. We don't want to hear the voice of God. You know, it's too terrible and so forth. You know, you go hear his voice, they told Moses, and so forth, and then you come tell us. I mean, how shameful is that? You know? And somebody would say, somebody else, go hear the word of God, and then you come tell me. You know, they want something that's been regurgitated, you know, from somebody else. You know, so they want somebody else to be the one that will hear the word and then tell them. You know, that's like many people here today, you know. No, you need to hear from God yourself. You need to be reading the word of God yourself, and you need to be following him every day by yourself. You know, and so that's the first thing you do, is to follow the word of God. Read the word. That's how you cleanse your ways, by taking heed according to the word. And you don't just read the word and then just do what it says, because that's like somebody looking in the mirror and see that your face is not clean, but you don't do anything about it. That's what the Bible says in the book of James. You know, but when you look in the perfect law of liberty, when you see that word, when that word shines light into your ways to see that there needs to be correction and rebuke and instruction in righteousness in your life, because that's what the word of God does, then you follow that word. And when you do, the Bible says, it shall be well with you, and your days shall be prolonged. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. A little message here about consecration. Serve the Lord with gladness, the psalmist said. Amen. Oh yes, serve the Lord with gladness, because His commandments are not grievous. You know, I mean, some people think that, well, it's burdensome to serve the Lord. No, it isn't. You know, I tell you what the other side looks like. You know, praise God. You know, it is a good thing to serve the Lord. It is a good thing to praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And every day, we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now lift up your hands this morning and let us pray together. Now this being a time of consecration, I want to challenge you to rededicate your lives to the Lord this morning. Don't follow the ways of the world. Follow the word of God. Seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind. Be excited about the things of God. Be passionate about God. Return unto your first love. Now some of you were passionate about God before, but then you let the things of the world, you let the cares of this world and so forth choke out that passion about God from your lives. That's not going to work. God wants to be first place in your lives, not second place. You know, He wants to be your chief joy. Get back to that place of love where you once believed Him. Get back to the place where you once, you know, sought the Lord every day. Where you once got up in the middle of the night and prayed. Hallelujah. Get back to the place where you are excited once to talk about Jesus. You know, now maybe you don't talk about Him and so forth like that. You just blend in with the crowd. Oh no, that's not going to work. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, and I will receive you, and I will be my God. I will be your God, and you will be my children. Raise up your hands and let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Let His word be revealed in the hearts of the people that have heard your word this morning. That we may seek the Lord with all our hearts, and with all our minds, and with all our souls. And Lord, even this morning, Lord, that we may seek out the good old ways, which is the good path. The ways of righteousness. The path of righteousness that leads to the gates of heaven. Give everybody the grace this morning, Lord, to be strong and courageous to observe all the word of the living God that we have commanded them this day. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Ye shall listen and observe and be diligent to keep all the commandment of the Lord that we commanded you this day, to follow hard after the Lord and to cleave unto Him. Ye shall not turn to the left nor to the right, but ye shall choose the Lord your God as your chief joy. Hallelujah. And then ye shall be a crown of glory in his hand, and a royal diadem in his hand. And the Lord, He will rejoice over you with His joy. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says, I am married to the backslider. See, God is married to everybody in here that may be backsliding, or anybody that's listening to this message that may be backsliding. And you, all you got to do is come on back home. Come back to the Lord. Praise God. And because this is consecration weekend, you may not be exactly, you know, it may not be that you've fallen from grace, you know, but maybe you've let some things slip, you know, and maybe you're not exactly the way you used to be before. And if you'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord, this is an opportunity for you to do that. I'm going to give some people a chance to do that before we go to the breaking of bread. If you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, perhaps your life has not been exactly the way it should be, I'm going to give you a chance this morning to come back to the Lord and rededicate your life. And you say, Lord, you know, I used to be on fire for God, but, you know, this and that and so forth like that. And if the word of the Lord has pricked your heart this morning, then you come back and you rededicate your life to the Lord. And I'm going to pray that the Lord will make all grace to abound towards you. And if that's you in here this morning, don't worry about what anybody will say. I want you to come to the altar and just rededicate your life. And we'll give you a chance to do that before we go on to the breaking of bread. Oh yes, say, take me back to the place where I once received you. Take me back, Lord, to the place, oh, where I once had joy with you. Oh yes, I've been blessed, but you say, I'm not satisfied. And if you know that you're not satisfied with God, if you want to press in, this is your opportunity for you to come and worship. Come here. I want to invite you around this altar. Those of you that are come and kneel down before the Lord here, this altar, and rededicate your lives. This is unto the Lord. This is not unto me. Rededicate your lives this morning and say, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to separate myself. I want to come out, and I don't want to touch the unclean thing anymore in my lives. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon an unclean thing? The psalmist said. Hallelujah. And all over this place, as they are praying, Lord, this morning at the altar, Lord Jesus, as they rededicate themselves, Lord, before you, Lord, this morning. Oh, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Give them the grace, Lord, to be strong in the name of Jesus. Be strong and of good courage. And you shall observe to do all the word of the Lord this morning and every day in your life. Hallelujah. Follow not the ways of the world, but let your mind be upon him every day. Come out from among them. Have no fellowship with darkness, because ye are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The psalmist said, Lord, O Lord, create a right spirit within me. Renew your spirit in me, O Lord, and restore the joy of my salvation. Perhaps you need the Lord to restore the joy of that salvation for you here this morning. Praise God. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? See, some of you, the reason why you are not on fire for the Lord is because you are in school, or you are in college, or you are at your work, or whatever. Well, all of those things that you are pursuing, what shall it profit you if you gain all those things and you lose your own soul? I see some young men, and I see some older ones in here this morning recommitting their lives to the Lord. And the Lord appreciates every one of you. The Lord loves you. And I want to tell you that there is the power in the blood of Jesus, not only to forgive our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Lord, let the power of that blood, let the power of that blood flow in here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, cleansing from all unrighteousness, renewing the right spirit, Lord, in the heart of the people that came here this morning. And the young ones that are here this morning, I say unto you, the Bible says, I know that you are strong, and you overcome the devil. You can overcome the devil. You are strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. And we want you to stand up to this generation. And we want you to show forth the glory of God in this generation. Everywhere you go, be a light unto this world. Light up the darkness. Light up the darkness. Light up the darkness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh yes. Just as I am, I come. Oh Lord, without one plea, just as I am. Every one of you that came this morning, may the Lord grant you the grace. The Lord answer your prayers, give you the grace and the strength to renew your commitment to the Lord. But you must deny yourself. You can't be concerned about what people will say about you. You know, then you have not yet denied yourself. You can't be concerned about that. You must deny yourself. You must give up your own fleshly concern you know, because you don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to do this, you don't want to do that. You haven't denied yourself yet. You must deny yourself, the Bible says, and you must take up your cross. You know, the cross is a shameful thing. Identify yourself with Christ every day, and then that's how you follow. That's how you follow. Say the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. For those of you that are here this morning, I want you to stand to your feet and I want you to sing this with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. Though no one joins me, though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning. The wall behind me and the cross before me. The wall behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning. I have decided, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning. Though no one joins me, though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a praise in here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on, give the Lord a praise here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.